Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
So we have these reality shows that try to hook people up and help people fall in love, but the truth is, that's not the answer. We have all these shows. You know, I could run through a list and I was going through them all. I thought, no, I'm not going to talk about them all. There's too many to mention. But there's so many shows on TV at the moment about falling in love and love at first sight and married at first sight. And there's one called Love Island where there's wife swap. Like as if you want to do that. Like, well, I don't know, maybe some people do. But there's all these shows at the moment trying to hook people up and fall in love. And the reason is because everybody wants to fall in love. Amen? We would be wrong to think that most of us don't want to get married and have the fairy tale. I've been married nearly 22 years, and there's one thing I've realized about love is it's often not a fairy tale. I didn't have those moments. Like, Rob didn't run towards me and the hands, like, I'd be like, what are you doing? Get away from me. I'm not that person. I didn't stand under a thing and say, I just want to find... Love found me in... I wasn't even ready for it. I'm a girl who came from a family that was completely broken, and I've probably talked about it before. My mum's been married and divorced 3 times, and my dad's in his 3rd marriage. I wasn't the girl who wanted to get married. But let me tell you, when it's right, it's right, and we don't need to go searching in places. And I just want to open up tonight's relationship series to actually come back to the basis of all love. And we're going to go on a journey just for a short moment tonight. In a moment, I'm going to ask someone to come and join me on the platform and help to unpack some of the things that go wrong in our journeys because we choose to look for love in all the wrong places. The truth is, in Genesis 2 verse 18, it says this, "And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." You know, love is not a luxury. Love is actually a basic need of each one of us in society. You know, we think to fall in love is a luxury, but I want to tell you today, to be loved and to love is actually not a luxury. Maybe falling in love is a different thing, but every single one of us are created to be in connection with each other, whether that's in friendship or whether that's in marriage. We are all created to do life together. And so I'm just going to pause for a moment and say to each one of us, if you're not in a connect group, this is totally separate to dating and marriage, but if you're not in a connect group, can I encourage you this year, please get yourself into a connect group. Go and see the Next Step Stand, because you were not designed or created to do life on your own. And perhaps some of the reasons we find ourselves alone and feeling lonely is because we isolate ourselves when we could actually put ourselves in groups where we would feel that connection. We weren't created to do life alone. You know, a child who's starved of love will actually ultimately suffer. You know, so many children or babies that are born prematurely, that as soon as they can get mum or dad to have skin-to-skin contact so that they can feel that love connection and that bonding, they do that as quick as they can, because a baby just left in a humidity crib, ultimately they've done tests, will actually suffer later on in life. But where that skin-to-skin contact can actually happen, the baby begins to thrive. And we actually need love to survive here on earth. We live in a world where there's pressure to be in relationship. Oftentimes, and I laugh, and I thought about it this week, even as a church sometimes, we make jokes about those that haven't yet found the right person. And I think we should go on a journey this year of not perhaps applying so much pressure, but actually cheering people on in their steps towards whatever that looks like, and not calling out the people that aren't in relationship. Because this is what I found. When you're not married or you haven't yet dated someone, everyone's saying to you, come on, have you found the right one yet? When are you going to find a girlfriend? When are you going to find a boyfriend? Come on, haven't you found that? Just put yourself out there, you'll find someone. Then what happens is you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend and everyone changes the question and it becomes this. When are you going to get engaged? And then you get engaged and you set the date and you get married, and then within time, Georgie and James, everyone starts to say, when are the kiddies coming? Well, just hang on a minute, let us just enjoy each other. And then you have one child and then they say, so come on, when's the next one coming? Like, it just keeps going on and on and on, because the truth is, in society, we're never actually satisfied with what we've got. We're always looking for the next thing. And culture says, and society pressures say, keep achieving for the next thing, keep going for the next thing. You've only got to open up your Instagram account. You've only got to follow, you know, some celebrities or follow some people to see, you know. And we are often reminded of what we don't have or what we should have that then puts pressure on us to think that we're not living how God's called us to live. The place you find yourself in right now is the perfect place for you if you're living in the will of God. Whether you're single, dating, married, single, divorced, where you are right now, if you're satisfied with what God's doing in your life, is where you need to be. And I just want to unpack this a little bit because, so good. Too much pressure. Well, these reality TV shows. I don't know if you've even slightly watched one episode of Married at First Sight this year. It's awful. The people are tragic. Am I allowed to say that? Like, have you looked? Maybe just go to the Instagram after I'm finished preaching. This year I feel like they've found models and actors from somewhere and they're just thrusting them in together and trying to make some drama up to make a great show. Well, I don't know, but there is this stigma. You go and watch a movie. Most movies today, it's all about a love interest of some sort. Even if you go and see a superhero movie, there's a love story somewhere interconnected in there. Whether it's someone falling in love with whatever or a dog or whatever, there's love stories in most movies. And the reality is, no, it's true. The reality is that the whole story is based around these two people connecting and finding each other. The minute they fall in love and they're connected, the movie's over. Because it's all about the journey to find love. It's all about that journey, and there's so much, and we can put so much pressure on each other to do that. And so I just want to unpack a little bit today, and you know, that one of the truths I've realized is that relationships cost. There is a cost to being in relationship, and so if you don't want that cost, don't go into a relationship, because it'll cost you something. And I don't mean money, James and Georgie. You two fought over that. You didn't know who spent the money. I don't mean money. It's going to cost a lot. It's going to cost an investment of yourself and time and all those things. But the truth is, you know, I don't usually use a whiteboard, but I wanted to feel like Pastor Tony and Pastor Josh. So I thought today I need to use a whiteboard. Is that okay? Yeah, I just want to be like them this year. Opposite, because I'm a female, but I want to be able to teach like them with a. So this is cool, right? I get to draw on a whiteboard. Let's see how this goes. I didn't even practice. Tony would have practiced. Josh would have stood in front of the mirror and watched himself practice. That's okay. We'll just put this here for later. That's all right. Smell? Yeah, all right. Lost my train of thought. Love. Pastor Tony drawing on the whiteboard. Josh looking in the mirror. Yeah, we can do this. The truth is in relationships, so here's me. We're going to stop there. Here's a relationship I'm in, and I'm not necessarily even talking about I'm married, I've got a husband, we've been married nearly 22 years. I'm not even talking about that. I'm even talking about friendship. You know, I'm happy to invest in a relationship when I feel like there's investment on the other side. So I'm happy to pour into a relationship because I want there to be, I'm happy if there's an investment coming back. And that's the same in life, right? I'm happy to invest in something as long as there's an investment in return. The minute there's not investment in return, I'm out of there. And oftentimes in relationship, that's what happens. We get into a friendship or we begin dating someone or we get married and we are happy to invest while we're feeling all the feels coming back. I'm happy to pour in. But the minute there's not an investment back, we either become insecure, we wonder what's going wrong, we've got abandonment issues, so we start to feel like, what is happening? This person doesn't love me anymore. But I can tell you, life happens. 22 years of marrying, seasons come and seasons go. And so sometimes there are moments where you don't feel this always coming back. But we have to be so mindful that when the investment isn't coming back to us, that we don't just stop, because that's where relationships get it all wrong. Let's talk about the woman at the well in John chapter 4. You know, this is a story that many of us would know, and I'm going to read from chapter 13 and 14 just in a moment, but this is a story a lot of us would know, and when we look at this, this is about a woman who's had five husbands, and we all go, oh. And then Jesus comes along and he says, go and get your husband, because she shouldn't be at the well at that time on her own, because she's a woman, and there's, you know, we don't even need to go into the culture of that. But he says, go get your husband. She's like, I don't have one. He's like, yeah, that's right. The guy you're living with isn't even your husband. You've already had five. And so we all look at that story and we judge her because she's had five husbands. But I'm wondering tonight, as I did some study and some really pondered into this week, I wonder if we could just look at this story from a different perspective for the moment. Because what it shows me is there is an innate desire, and we are wired to need to want to be in relationship. And so maybe this woman, and we don't know the story and we don't know the history behind the five husbands, who knows, maybe they all died. Maybe they didn't. Maybe there was this bad cycle going on. But this woman had had five husbands, and now she's in another relationship, which shows me that we actually want to be in relationship and we need to feel loved and to be able to love. Because love is not a luxury, friends. It is a basic need of each one of us. We were created by our Creator God to be loved and to be able to love other people. And so let's have a look at her. And maybe we don't need to judge her. Maybe we need to think less about this story and less about the immorality that's going on, and rather look at the human desire of this woman to be in relationships. You know, I look at my mum, 3 marriages, 3 divorces. Same, probably same in each one, but she went from one to another because she's trying to get a need met in her life, just like this woman at the well, and that's each one of us. And maybe we don't get to marriage, but we end up in these relationships that aren't right. But let's go down to John chapter 4, verse 13. It says, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Let's talk about this investment for a moment. See, I'm happy to invest as long as there's an investment coming back. When a season of non-investment comes back into my life, maybe I might start to think, maybe my husband doesn't love me anymore. Maybe I'm in a friendship and I don't hear from this person for a long time. I get insecure, and so that relationship, little bit by little bit, I begin to pull away and I pull back and I begin to stop investing in that relationship, and bit by bit, that relationship begins to crumble. You see, relationships don't end just overnight. They break down over time. And oftentimes it's because the investment thing we've got so wrong. We're only investing if we get invested back into. So let's have a look at the metaphor of this chapter of Scripture, this story we find in Scripture. Let's maybe think about water for a moment. You know, for us, living in Australia, there's an endless supply of water. I'm thirsty, I can have a drink. Here we go. We visited Indonesia a few weeks ago, and while you can buy water there, you certainly don't want to necessarily drink the water that comes out of the tap, and so you can go and buy it for like 20 cents, but you've got to go to the shop every day, buy the water and have it ready for you to brush your teeth, do all those things. And so you actually become conscious, even though you can afford to buy it, you actually become aware of and conscious of how much water you need and how much you're using. And stop waste. I mean, I remember watching my daughter brush her teeth, and it's like, we can't use all that water, we've got to go and buy it again. If you drink all that now, I can't brush mine, and Dad can't brush his, because we've only got this much water. We can go buy more, but we've all got to leave the apartment to go buy more. And so you start to think about water. Imagine, you know, someone comes to me and they're thirsty and they need a drink. I'm going to be generous because I have an endless supply of water to give. But let's imagine I'm a woman in a third world country, and for me to be able to get the supply of water I need for my family, I have to walk for miles in the heat every single day with a water container on my head probably, and maybe a baby on the front and a baby on the back. And I have to trek and get water. And then when I get to the place, the supply, where I can get the water, I have to gather the water, put it in my container, and then walk back to my family. And then I've got to repeat that and do it all over again tomorrow, and then the next day, and the next day. If I was walking back with my supply of water and someone stopped me and said, I need water, I'm so thirsty, do you think I'm going to be as generous to give them the water that I've just trudged for, walked for, had to invest time for? Do you think I'm going to be as generous to give them my water? Probably not. And it's the same over here. I'm happy to be generous when the supply that's coming back is lots. The minute it's not, it's like, I'm not telling you I love you today. You haven't told me for a week. And the guy says, I told you I loved you when I married you. It hasn't changed. That's not what my husband says. He says it a lot. But that's the truth, right? We stop investing when there's not an investment come about. I'm happy to be generous when I'm feeling like I'm getting from everybody, when I'm getting my well filled. But that's why relationships break down, because the investment thing doesn't work like that. Let's talk about Jesus here, who says in verse 13 and 14 that I am, if you drink from this water, it says it becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. You know, the truth is, if we want any relationship to work, we've got to add Jesus. And he's got to be the fresh spring that keeps pouring into our life, keeps pouring into our life, keeps pouring into our life, keeps pouring in. I'm just going to keep saying it. It keeps pouring into our life, because then what happens? I'm happy to keep giving because he's filling me up. I'm happy to keep giving because he's filling me up. And so when I don't feel it coming back here, because maybe we're in a tough season, maybe there's some stuff going on, I'm actually happy to keep giving because God is fulfilling my every need. And we get it wrong, young people. We get it wrong in relationships because we're looking for this person to complete us, but ultimately it's only Jesus Christ who can complete us. It's only him. He says, if you'll drink from the water that I supply, it will never run dry. It will never run dry. You talk to couples that go through such hardship and such hard times, and let me tell you, you can tell that they drink from the well that will never run dry, because they give and they give and they give and they give, and it doesn't deplete their relationship when the other one is not always giving back in return. Now, that's got to come, but if we can get this right, if we can get that ultimate thing right, we will see our relationships change. Jesus is the constant spring supply of love that we need in our life to bring us the satisfaction, to complete us, and to be able to help us to live completely free and be who Jesus has created us and designed us to be. We won't always go moving on to the next one when the other one doesn't supply back. See, what happens here is if I'm in a relationship and this person's not fulfilling my needs and I'm not going to the ultimate source, then I dump that one and I go to the next one and I start looking for them. And at the start, they probably are meeting all my needs and they're probably showing me all that love and they're doing all that thing. But then when that's, I'm not getting fulfilled here, and then they stop doing that and they didn't text me for a week, then I'm like, well, I'm on to the next one. And we jump from person to person, to friendship to friendship, to relationship to relationship, because we haven't worked out that Jesus is the source of all fulfillment. He's the constant supply and he will never run dry. See, our mistake is we love for fulfillment rather than loving from a place of fulfillment. When I'm fulfilled here, I can just keep giving. I'm happy to keep giving. But when I'm looking for fulfillment here and it doesn't come, I'm dry. I've got nothing left to give. But when my source is Jesus Christ and I can keep going back to the well and keep drinking and keep drinking and keep drinking, allowing him to fulfill me, then I can keep on loving the way Jesus says I should be loving. When we truly understand this, then we are totally free to give and we're totally free to love, and we can do that without there being an expectation, because we're already fulfilled. We're already fulfilled. I'm going to ask Kelly Long. Kelly's a great lady in our church. She's the wife of Pastor Josh Long. She's the mother of Sophie. She's one of our worship leaders. She does worship at our Salisbury campus. She's an incredible lady. But I'm just going to ask Kelly a couple of questions and get crash, crash, bang, bang. Thank you very much. That's awesome. But I know a little bit of Kelly's story, and I know some of the young adults have heard a little bit of Kelly's story and Josh's story, but we're just going to delve a little bit into Kelly's story for just a moment. Kelly was saved at the age of 19. We chatted heaps this week about this. Kelly was saved at the age of 19. No previous church involvement. Didn't grow up in a Christian home. Comes from a broken home. Dad was around, but Dad was a broken man, and so Dad wasn't always available for Kelly. And so Kelly desperately, she told me, I desperately wanted to be married at 22. Oh, yeah. And like it was a desperation. I will be married at 22. And so Kelly, in a desperation to be loved and to have love, went looking probably for love in all many places and in many relationships. And so I'm going to thank Kelly for being vulnerable in this moment. But Kelly, a couple of questions for you. Tell us tonight how searching for love in order to be fulfilled, so this, going here to be fulfilled, left you feeling.
Well, it was a few different things. So I was so broken that I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Yep. Because even if you come across someone who could potentially be the right person, yep, if it's at the wrong time and you're and you're looking for love in this needy, rejected way like I was, it's still the wrong time and the wrong person. And so what I would do is I would jump from relationship to relationship to relationship, and I was so clingy. I was so manipulative, and I would just hold on so tight that I'm pretty sure anyone who was around me would just feel this pull.
Leech.
Yeah, I was a leech. I was a leech. I was controlling. I was constantly fearing rejection in everything that I did. If a friend would tell me that I had a problem, well, it was instantly, it wasn't my fault. It was always their fault, and I would get so defensive, and I was so afraid of just being myself, because I was afraid of being abandoned. It turned out that I actually was not receiving this unconditional love that God could give me, because all I could think about was, I need this right now. Not, I can get this here, because that's kind of hard. It's challenging to get to that point, but you're right here. Yeah. And so I would cling, and I would control, and I would manipulate my way into relationships, and I led a lot of people astray. I led a lot of men astray, if we'll be honest.
Wow, and so that feeling of rejection and that feeling of I'm going to be abandoned came when others didn't respond the way you wanted them to?
Pretty much. Or even if they did, it was a constant, it was always with me. And so even if things were going great, always underneath the surface was, what if something goes wrong? I need to always be in control. And so there was never a letdown. Even when I was getting what I thought I wanted, it was fear-driven, just constant fear of losing this relationship, losing this love, because if somebody didn't love me, it was devastating. If somebody disagreed with me, it was devastating, because I didn't understand that I'm fully accepted in the beloved. That's what Ephesians 1 says.
Perfect. And so that revelation that you are fully loved, and that revelation of God is, Jesus is that source. He's the spring that will never run dry. Tell us how that revelation changed the way you're obviously married now, been married for how long?
3, 4.
Oh, he said 4, she said 3. Okay.
Well, I'm accepted in the beloved.
That wasn't part of what we're going to talk about. But that revelation that you got, that God loves you enough to fulfill you, tell us how that changed the way you walked into a completely different relationship with Josh, who's
well,
now your husband.
Well, first of all, I'm able to be married to a man who actually has a better memory than I do and not feel ashamed. Now, it changed everything. I just remember one day being like, I'm done with this. I can't do this anymore. I can't actually maintain this. And so I just started crying out to God. And, you know, God really started to show me, like, a man will never give you everything that you need, ever. And he showed me, gosh, you're holding on to things out of a need to be loved that are not right for you. And so what I started being able to do was start to say, God, just fill me up with and show me who I am in you. And, you know, he started just affirming me in a way that a person never will, because God, I realized that God sees me. God sees every part of me, and there's no shame in God's presence. You're able to actually be vulnerable when you realize that no matter what happens, he just loves you. He loves the mess in you. He doesn't want the mess to stay. But when you're sitting in your mess and you're at your lowest point, he loves you, and it's not in spite of. He just loves you. And You know, it says in the Bible, perfect love drives out fear. When you're fully accepted, there's nothing that, no opinion that anyone has of you can devastate you the way that it was devastating me. And I'm talking relationship after relationship after relationship I was in, and God said, just drop it. Be willing to be lonely for a little bit so that you can stop trying to get this and start getting this. And it hurt, but the end result was beautiful, and now I'm able to be in a free place where we won't go into it too much, but when Josh and I started dating, I was able to say, God, it's all yours. And there's so much peace in that. And I think that's the change, is that revelation that God gave me. Just sit in, I can be everything you need. You don't need a man to provide for you, because I thought that. I wanted a man to come along and
you
just
told me you wanted
me.
A sugar daddy.
I did. Yeah. I wanted a sugar daddy. And then I married a pastor. What was I thinking? No. By the time I got married, I realized that God could provide for me, and I didn't need some guy to come along and take care of my needs.
Yeah, so good.
Right.
How good is that? That's thank you so much, Kelly. We're going to stop there. Thank you so much. In 2 weeks' time, Kelly and Josh are going to be on our panel, and they're going to share a bit more of their story and how they came into and began a relationship and a journey where perhaps they'd both been in relationships before, but able to hand that to God and say, God, we're trusting you, and you are this, and so we're going to walk this out beautifully, and how they put boundaries in place and how they walked that out free, knowing who God had called them to be. But, you know, there's so much about what Kelly and I talked about during the week that didn't even get expressed there, but you know what? The essence of everything, Kelly, was she was operating like this and clutching at everything she could to keep that man in her life and to keep that relationship going and pointing in the right direction. And I mean, she said to me at one point, she was on and off with this guy for 7 years. And they just kept going back to each other to get to that place because that's desperately what she wanted and wanted to be loved. Because the truth is, like I said, love isn't a luxury. It's a need in each one of us. And so we go to where we feel like we're getting the love. But I just want to, you know, if you've been married 50 years, this was a challenge to me this week to say, no matter where we find ourselves in the journey of love or in relationship, we've got to constantly remind ourselves that Jesus is the supply that will never run dry. He's the spring that just keeps pouring into our life. And when we forget that, we start living in a cycle that's controlling and manipulating and actually is destructive for ourselves, but it's actually destructive for the other person, because we're putting them in the place of God, and they should never be put in that place. Man, woman will always let you down. When you put them in this place, you've got it all wrong. People will always let you down because they're people. But God will never disappoint you. God will never leave you lonely. God will never forsake you. He will never leave you without. He is the lover of your soul. He's the one who comes in when you're feeling like nobody else is there. He's the one who comes in and comforts those that have lost a partner. He's the one who comes in when we lose a loved one and just brings that comfort, because He is the perfect, perfect person for that place. When we put everybody else there, we're letting ourselves down, and we're putting them in a place that they could never fulfill. And I love what Kelly brought today. You know, she no longer needed to control and manipulate and operate from a place of fear, because she knew who she was ultimately in Christ. And so if that wasn't the perfect relationship, then that didn't matter. She was happy to lay that down, because Christ was enough. Christ was enough. Do you know, we sing the songs, the cross is enough. Young people, can I ask you tonight, honestly, young adults, is the cross enough when it comes to this fear? Older person who's still wanting to be in a relationship, maybe you've come through a tough time in a marriage and you're finding yourself single again, can I encourage you tonight? The cross is enough. It really, we have to get back to that. Jesus is enough. He has to be enough. He's got everything we need. And I don't know about you, and I remember talking to Kelly during the week, and she said it again, I think, on the phone to me today. She said, you know what, Alice, if it was just me and Jesus forever, that was going to be okay. That was actually going to be okay. because he was fulfilling every need she had. You know, loving from a place of already being fulfilled enables us to be who God's ultimately called us to be. And if we go back to Genesis, when God looked and saw Adam and said, it's not good for him to be alone, he needs a helper. He wasn't talking about a partner who will come in and cause division and destruction and awfulness in our life and someone who can stop us from fulfilling the purposes of God. He was talking about someone who comes in and allows us to be who God's called us to be. Not someone who would stifle us, not someone who would stop the call of God on our life, not someone who would stop us living the dreams that God's put in our heart. It would be someone who would come in and be a helper. You know, I really believe tonight there's three things that I really want to pray over and pray for tonight. In John 4, it talks about those who drink from the living water won't thirst again and they'll have eternal life. Well, I wonder tonight, sitting in a room like this, who sits here and says, well, I'm in this. I don't even know who this is. You're talking about this constant supply, this Jesus that I've got to go back to because he's going to fulfill me. I don't even have that in my life. I don't even know who Jesus Christ is. Well, friend, I want to tell you tonight that God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ, it tells us in the Word of God, to die on a cross so that you could be forgiven of your sin, set free from the past, and have eternal life with him. And so that he could come into your life and be that source and be that fulfillment so that you could begin to walk through life living and loving from a place of fulfillment rather than looking for fulfillment in everything that you do and in every relationship you find yourself in. We do that not just in relationship. We do that in jobs. We do that in what we look like. We're looking for fulfillment in all these things. But ultimately, we've got to come back to what God says. And so I wonder tonight if there's people in this room that say, Alice, my first step in this relationship is actually accepting Jesus Christ, acknowledging him as my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you. But in just a moment, I'm going to ask that question and ask you to respond. And I want to pray with you. But the other thing that I really feel so strongly to pray for tonight is two things in us. And maybe for us tonight, we need to get that same revelation that Kelly got, that many of us have had, that Jesus is the supply that will never run dry. And that we look to him, he brings that fulfillment in our life. And maybe tonight, some of us need to get that revelation so that we can have the courage to stay when it would be easier to leave, because our whole perspective of what it means to love in a relationship will shift. We realize that friendships, relationships isn't about what we can get, but it's actually about what we can give, because we come from a place of already being fulfilled. And so we're happy to keep pouring in, and we're happy to keep pouring in because Jesus is our supply and he's the spring that never runs dry. Or maybe on the other hand, some of us need, and this is bold of me to say, but I felt this so strongly today as I was praying and seeking God. Maybe some of us need to get the courage, as Kelly said, to actually leave or lay down a relationship and say, God, if this is not meant to be, I'm trusting you because you are the one who's going to fill me up. And when I can first go to you, and then God, if you want to return that into my life, I will then take that up in my life. Because see, some of us, and it's something Kelly said to me, we stay in relationship even if it's bad because we ultimately want to be loved. And so we end up in this awful cycle, a negative cycle of love that's not really love, it's more control and manipulation. And so maybe tonight some of us need to get a revelation of what it means to be loved by Christ and have that fulfillment so that we can lay down what we think or lay down what we think may be the right person or the right timing and lay it down in God's hands and say, God, if it is you, you'll make it so clear. But I'm going to you first. I'm going to you first. And I felt that so strongly today, because that is a revelation that will completely change everything about your life. It will transform your behavior, which will then overflow into every single one of your relationships. If our behavior can be transformed by that thinking that we get, that God is enough, that the cross actually, as we sing, the cross actually is enough for us, then it will transform everything about our world.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencers.church.